we're gonna go to the book of Revelation.
Oh.
First time. Just for one verse. In chapter 3 and in verse 20. And I don't have a title for this, but maybe you could give me one at the end. Okay. As he said, it's been a long time. And in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold," this is Jesus speaking, by the way, because you know it's him because it's in red. Okay. "So behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me." In 1972, my best friend, Claire, took a class on the Bible. And she wanted to share it with me. But at that time, I was into women's lib. Okay? And the women's lib ladies all wanted to get rid of men. Especially the older ladies were telling the younger ladies to the men were no good. And you needed to stick together. It's women power. I had a problem. I was married and I loved men. As a general rule, I liked them. Grew up with a brother, had a wonderful father, wonderful male relatives, wonderful male friends. Didn't like that. But I was into it. And she kept sharing the word with me. She brought her syllabus, and she shared the word. And I said, okay, that's enough. Let's talk about something else. Jesus Christ says that he knocks at the door. And she didn't force me. She didn't say, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you're not saved, and you need to come to Jesus. You know, and I was pretty rebellious as a young person, still am a little, some of you that know me. But anyway, she continued to teach me, but I would stop her. And then I said, look, she invited me to come to a fellowship like this of mature women, over 30. I was 32 at the time. And so I said, I'll go to your fellowship if you will come to my women's lib meeting. She said, no problem. So we came into the meeting, and there were a bunch of older women, and they're all talking, and the older ones are encouraging the younger ones to stay with the women. And she went around to every person in that room, and she told me something about those people, which was unbelievable, called discerning of spirits. It shocked me to my core. And I went, whoa, how'd you do that? And she said, well, God told me. And I'm going, I grew up with Catholic. I never heard that God told me thing. But anyway, I said, okay, I'm going to come to your fellowship. And what I heard there was so incredible because, and it makes me cry to this day, these women prayed to God like they knew him. They father this and father that, and I'm so thankful. You know, it was so wonderful to be able to see people that had a real personal relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it blew me away. So she wanted to sign me up for this class, but so she sent the one who witnessed to her over because she said she was being so attacked. That she says, I think that the devil's going to kill me if I sign you up. She said, no, not really, but I'm sending Gretchen. I said, okay. So she came over, and my husband at that time was sitting at the desk, and she's telling me about the class, and I said, I want to take it. And this here he is over there, and he says, I'm going to take it too. I was like in shock. So we took that Power for Abundant Living class. He slept through it, which was okay. Didn't speak in tongues. I spoke in tongues, and I spoke in tongues for the day after I took the class. We were going to Cape Cod to this little home that we owned. And for 4 hours, as I drove my children up to Massachusetts from New York, I spoke in tongues. Can't tell you how strong I got, because that really strengthened me to continue in the life that I had at that time. So Jesus Christ knocked on my door, and I opened it. Many times I have witnessed to people and I've tried to kick in the door. But that never worked. It never worked. So I'll just exhort you to continue to love so that people can see the love of God in you and you can bring them to Jesus and bring them to God. Let's go to Acts 2, 38. We have so much that God has given us. So much. And here's some. Then Peter, in verse 38, said unto them, repent, go the other way. 180. Be baptized, every one of you, with water. No. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It has been said that God has no grandchildren, that each person has to come to God on their own. Isn't that something? I mean, I have grands and I have great grands, but he doesn't have any grandchildren. Every person has to come to him, and as many as the Lord our God will call. But it says, for the promise is unto you and to your children. So your children sometimes may not want to hear what you have to say, but you know, God can work in that situation. And I'll just exhort you to remember, you got remission, you got the gift of Holy Spirit, and the promise is to all that our Lord shall call. In Colossians 1:27, Colossians, Dan gets there before me, even with his iPad. It said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't always remember that Christ is in me. I get in situations where I think I'm powerless, and yet Christ is in me, and I have to remember that. I have to remember that Christ overcame everything for me, and so keep that Christ within you. And sometimes, you know, there used to be a sign that we'd put on the mirrors that says, behold the glory of the Lord. Remember that? And we'd put it on our mirrors. I think I'm going to put it on my mirror again. Because first thing in the morning, you know, you go into the bathroom, you do your stuff, and it's a great reminder. It's a great reminder. Look at Colossians 2:9. It says, for in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are completely, complete, absolutely complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Do I always feel complete? No. It's that so many things seek to tear us down in this world, but we are complete. That is the absolute truth of the word. We are complete in Christ. We have to remember that. We, you know, just have to. Look at Ephesians 1:4. You may not always get chosen for the, what? What's the game you used to play?
Volleyball.
Volleyball. You may not get chosen, but guess what? Where am I? Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be miserable and screwed up before, no, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Okay. According as he hath chosen you, Joan, in him before the foundation of the world, that Joan should be holy and without blame before him in love. So put your name in there.
Absolutely.
Put your name in there. Because boy, oh boy, we need it. We need to remember we are chosen. We're chosen of God. No matter who else doesn't like you, God has chosen us. Damn. Romans 1. You know that every single church epistle starts with grace and peace? Every single one. You can go through them. I'm not going to do that today. But everyone within the first few verses, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just such a wonderful thing to know we have grace. Undeserved what? spiritual, what is it?
Favor.
Yeah, undeserved favor, right. Mm-hmm. Undeserved. We didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us. What do we deserve? Sometimes, but not all the time. Okay, I got it now. Okay, I'm at Romans. Okay, Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, I'm just showing you one. But if you go through them, you'll see them all. It's so wonderful. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8:8 and in 26. But God, it's so heavy. I don't know what to do. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For Joan does not know what she should pray for as she ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for Joan with groanings which cannot be uttered. Keep putting your name in there.
Absolutely.
Keep putting your name. And you know, I forgot that. I forgot it. I forgot to put my name in it. I would read it, but I didn't put my name there. Put my damn name there. Philippians 2:13. Sorry.
Did you say that to the recording?
I did.
Yes, you did.
Okay, 2:13. Oh my goodness, this verse. For it is God which worketh in you. You, and you, and me. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So don't give yourself such a hard time. Think that. Wouldn't it be better to think that than to think what we think in our messed up minds sometimes? That's so wonderful. I'm going to go back to Ephesians. Just, it's only one book back, so it's not that bad. Ephesians 1:19. What is the exceeding power of his greatness of his power to us, all right here in this room, who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, not only, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, and we know from another scripture that he ever sits there to make intercession for us. Mm-hmm. He makes intercession for us, and we make intercession for each other with God. Isn't that wonderful? Far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Okay, Christ is in us, right? So what's under Christ's feet is under our feet. That's the way we need to walk through this world, is with that under our feet, all these negatives, all this hatefulness, all that stuff, just put it under your feet and step on it. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. We're it. We're it. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. 2 Corinthians 5. Doesn't this just build you up?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I love the way it just builds us up. Because everything around us tears us down. But, you know, that's why we need each other so much. We need each of our strengths. This is a good one. 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and are we?
Yes,
we are. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So let's bring up each other's past. No. Let's bring up the mistakes you made, Kaya.
All
things are passed
first.
Away. Yeah, there they go. I like that. Good, Tom. That's the way we should be for each other. Oh, my gosh. And verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We didn't have to work for it. Jesus Christ did it because we could have never done it. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So when you're out there and you're speaking to somebody about the word, make sure you tell them all the mistakes they've made. Let's go to 1 John. You don't dwell on mistakes, not for us, for yourself, nor for anybody else. And that's a very good reminder for me. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love. Do you feel it? That the Father has bestowed upon us. Do you feel that love? Yeah. That we should be called the sons of God. The sons of God. Not the son of You know, it's the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved. How do you like to be called beloved? Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it just make you feel good? Now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Go to 1 John 4, since we're here. No, let's see. 1 John 4, yeah. Here's 4. And verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. We never heard that before, did we? No, not ever. But you know what? That is the God's honest truth. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And that's how people know us, from the love of God that we have when we share the word with them, when we help them. That's what attracts them. They don't know what it is, but we know what it is. It's God in Christ in us. It's that love that we have. Ephesians 5. We're staying in these books here till the end. Ephesians 5, it says in verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, Jesus Christ didn't want to die like that. He went to his father. He asked him, is there anything else that I can do? And God said, no, this is it. And he took all of our sins and our sicknesses with him. What a wonderful thing to remember, because we couldn't have done it on our own. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and we still need him now. So we can walk in love, because he always walked in love. But he was tempted in all things like as we are, it says in Hebrews, and yet without sin. Think of the things that tempt you in your life. He was tempted in all things. That's pretty big. That's pretty big, from, you know, tempted in everything. You fill in the blanks, because he was a perfect sacrifice. 2 Timothy 1. These are the pastoral epistles, and when you're thinking of, you know, the leadership in the church, 2 Timothy is the ruin of the church. And God says in verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, and it's been taught sometimes cowardice, afraid to speak up at a time when we should speak up, a time to be quiet, when we should be quiet, because there's so much fear in our hearts. And fear is something that everybody goes through, because we do have an adversary. But he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Those three are pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. Okay, Philippians 4. I said to Dan, I don't have a title. And he goes, it's okay, honey, it's the word.
That's your title. It's okay, honey. It's the word.
Oh, okay. Yay. Thank you, Bob. It's okay, honey. It's the word. Oh, that's pretty cute.
It's okay, honey. You're first, though.
Thank you, honey. Philippians 4. 4:6. Be careful for nothing, even if you don't have a title. But at everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and maybe Bob will speak up, and then I'll have the title. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Boy, that's a big thing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, man, that is so good. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Got two more verses. Proverbs 3, very familiar, most of these verses to all of you. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And it says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we'll end in Psalm 18. This is a great song that Johnny Cano out of New Jersey has, and I wish I could have found a little tape player and brought it in for you, but it's Psalms 18, 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Thank you, Father, for your word. How we can utilize our mind to keep it in our minds and to walk out on it. Thank you, Father, for each one of us. We just give ourselves to you, God, and to your Son, Jesus Christ, who accomplished it all through you. Thank you, Father, for your tremendous love, for your care for us, and how you take care of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.